Hello everyone, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards, and today we're going to be talking about, does an external world exist? So, before we get into the meat of this one, I just want to kind of set the stage. Basically, in February this year, what I'm doing is covering really deep topics and profound questions, fundamental questions about the nature of life and reality. And I want to say that a lot of times spiritual teachers somehow automatically feel qualified to start talking about all sorts of topics that actually have not much to do with the sort of original tradition that they studied or the practices they've done or things like that. And I'm wary of falling into that trap, and it's something I've noticed for a long time, and I'm careful not to just start talking about all sorts of topics, pretending I know what I'm talking about just because I'm considering myself spiritual. So I want to warn you in advance. However, I also think that spiritual work, inner work, it gives you a very unique perspective on these matters that traditional philosophy, you know, rational modern philosophy, and even postmodern philosophy, it can't give you. And ultimately, these are very fascinating questions, and I feel like I have something interesting to offer. I don't want you to listen thinking that I know the answer. I'm sort of just sharing my perspective on these things and fleshing out my own ideas. I suppose you could even think of this as like a, you know, I'm sort of writing down all my ideas about this topic, but ultimately I want you to filter this and ask yourself these questions, and over the months and years, slowly come to your own conclusions, because I don't claim that this is all correct. I don't claim to be a professional philosopher. I just think these are fascinating questions and I have something to share. So we've started with, and I'll also say that I'm pretty apprehensive about doing this series, but I also feel like the time has come to go existential a bit more. You know, last month was very much like very practical, very sort of goal oriented, achievement oriented. And I think I feel this urge to go a bit more existential about things. And ultimately, the books that I'm writing at the moment do get very existential. And so as I continue writing and publishing books, well, you can expect I'll just become more and more existential. That's the first of many big words I'll be using today to try and sound intelligent. So, listen, does an external world exist? What I basically mean by this question is, does a world exist beyond the world that you are perceiving right this very moment? You know, yes or no, does it exist? And this is like a classic philosophical question that has been given many, many answers. And my core conclusion that I'm going to come to today, this is where I might, some of you might fall in love with me and some of you might begin to hate me. my core conclusion is that you can only know your own experience and everything else is an assumption. But obviously I have some explaining to do, and this is actually going to be quite a long episode, one of my longest, I think. So to help you understand this question of does an external world exist a bit more, we have to talk about naive realism. What naive realism is it's sort of like the default metaphysical paradigm of most people and the default one that underlies science and really modern society, like modern democracies. What naive realism basically says is that a physical permanent world exists beyond your current perception. So, for example, right, imagine the place that you grew up. You know, imagine the house that you grew up in, or one of them, or several of them. Now, what naive realism says is that that image is not just of a house that you're imagining. That house actually exists in the physical world, and it is permanently there whether you know it or not, right? So you can sort of imagine naive realism is, as you're, you know, as you've got your eyes open right now, you can see around you, you can see to the edge of like the room that you're in, or the scene that you're looking at if you're outside, and maybe beyond that you can't actually see what is beyond that. What naive realism says is that the world that you think is beyond there is definitely real, and it's physical, and it's permanent, and it exists. Okay? So what I'm also kind of doing in this episode is questioning naive realism, because if I say, does an external world exist, I'm sort of asking, is naive realism true? So a lot of the things I'm going to be talking about here are related to naive realism and to the topic of the external world at the same time. So what my main conclusion is that naive realism is basically just an assumption. So it is an assumption to say that a physical permanent world exists beyond your current perception. It's an extraordinarily useful assumption that is true, yes, and it's one that we all use all of the time without even noticing it, yes, but it is still an assumption, right? Why is it an assumption? Because you cannot actually prove naive realism. It is an incomplete model, and it is self-sealed. That is, to prove it, you already have to believe in it. To show that it's true, you already have to be inside it. That's what I mean when I say it's self-sealed. And this brings into play something called the incompleteness theorem. I can't remember who some of you philosophy people will be screaming at me saying you can't remember who. I think it was Gödel, but that may be wrong. Gödel's incompleteness theorem says that basically all paradigms are self-sealing. Now, that's my way of paraphrasing the conclusion, but it basically means to prove a paradigm is true, you have to basically assume that the paradigm is correct anyway. So what I'm saying here, and this is sort of the whole argument of the episode, is that naive realism is an assumption. Now, I'm not saying naive realism isn't true necessarily, because I think you can't prove it's true. And you cannot say that it's false either. How can you prove that it's false if you can't prove that it's true? It's an assumption, right? Now, that is the main thing that I'm getting at here. It's an assumption, and it is an interpretation of our human experience. But that an assumption is not the same thing as reality. And that's a nice segue. We must, when we're talking about this question of does an external world exist, we have to distinguish reality from assumption. What is an assumption? An assumption is a plausible idea we hold to be true in order to serve an end. So it has a use. It's an idea that has a certain use, which may or may not be true in reality. An assumption is a supposition you make that is useful, but you don't actually know whether it's true or not. And that's what I'm saying naive realism is. That's what I'm saying, that the idea that there's a physical permanent world that exists beyond your perception of it is an assumption. It is useful, but it's not. The fact that it's an assumption means that it's whether or not it's true is not actually relevant. It can still be an assumption without it actually being true. It might just be a useful one. In our case, the assumption looks like an external world exists because it seems like a viable explanation for how we experience life, even though we cannot perceive it. On the other hand, reality, so we're talking about assumption versus reality. Reality is just the nature of things. In particular, what I'm talking about is an actual nature of moment-to-moment human experience beyond concepts, right? So, this question of the external world, the assumption is then the assumption that naive realism makes is that it exists and it's permanent, it's there, whether or not you believe it and whether or not you can perceive it. Now, what I'm going to propose the reality of it is that all intimations of an external world are simply thoughts arising in your present experience. So what you don't have is a reliable, you can't know the external world. What you can have is a sense of the external world. So you can have a sense of the place you grew up. You can have a sense of the people that you are not seeing or talking to right now. You can have a sense of them, but you cannot really know them. And you cannot really say whether they exist or not with any certainty. And the same goes with for me. You're listening to me speaking right now. You cannot directly perceive me. You can hear my voice. You can see me on the screen, perhaps. But that doesn't mean I exist in the way you think I exist from your perspective. You have a sense of me, right? You have a sense of who I am because, you know, you're listening to this podcast, you've seen my face, but that is a sense. That is not me. That is not the reality of me. The reality that you have is simply your intimations of the external world beyond your senses. Your intimations of me right now. That is not the same as me, as I am. You see? So you might be asking, well, if the reality is that all we have is a sense of the external world, then why do we assume all the time, pretty much without thinking about it, that there is really a permanent external world beyond what we can perceive directly? And I've got a few ideas here, and it explains why it's such a good assumption, but it's still an assumption nonetheless. First of all, it's because it acts as a kind of sat-nav. So what I mean by this is that you can think of a person or a place distant from you right now. You can conceptually locate them in relation to where you are right now, and you can plan a way to get there, or you can plan a way to communicate with them, and then you can do that. You can go to them or you can contact them, right? So, and then you actually are, they are part of your experience, your direct experience. So it helps you make sense of the fact that while what is beyond your experience, you cannot know it directly. Right now, you know roughly where it is probably located to your current experience, and you can do that. And I know if you're an adult, that might just sound like an obvious thing, but actually it's not obvious because a child can't do this. A child doesn't have a permanent map of the world like we do. They don't have an internal sense of an external world, okay? Second, you have a solid sense of reality. So by assuming naive realism, assuming that there's a permanent external world, what it allows you to do is it allows you to basically live functionally. So you know who you are in relation to the world around you. You know where you are in relation to the world around you. If you think of your kitchen right now, you know where your kitchen is. If you think of your office right now, whether you work at home or not, you know where your office is. If you know where your street is right now, if you can think of your street right now, you know where it is. So you've got this map that allows you to navigate, and it gives you this sense of being who you are. It gives you a sense of continuity without which you'd probably struggle to live functionally. Because think of it, like if you don't know where the tap is, how are you going to drink water? You don't know where the fridge is, how are you going to get food, right? Having this sense of an external world that is permanent and physical it is useful for helping you live life in the most basic ways that we all take for granted as adults. Third, you know the difference between imagination and reality to a sufficient degree because you've internalized the laws of the linear 3D world. So let me explain this one because it's quite a mouthful, isn't it? What I'm basically saying is that young children, for example, I wouldn't go as far as saying that they don't know that other places exist and other people exist, but what I will say is that they don't have that very solidly sort of integrated into their nervous system. And so when children go into the magical phase and they start having strong imagination, they haven't sort of learned how life works to a sufficient degree to know the difference between imagination and reality. So if you tell a child, oh, well, Santa Claus flew here and he flies and delivers all the presents in one night, they don't understand that that is not possible, right? Because they don't understand that, you know, they haven't been around the world enough. They haven't moved around enough to realize that things take time, whether you want them to or not. You can't just travel to all the countries in the world in one night, even if you're Santa Claus, you see. So as an adult, you've got all this stuff internalized and you know quite fine well that you can imagine flying to the other side of the world in 1 hour, but that is fantasy. That's not reality. It's not reality at this point in human history, at least. So by having a map of the world around you, you can understand, you know, how long does it take to get this place? How long does it take to get that place? What exists and what doesn't exist? What is part of my imagination and what is part of reality? And that may sound trivial, but, you know, if you look at people who are in institutions, for example, these lines are blurred. You know, they really don't know the difference between, you know, people can have voices in their head that they think are actually real people and all kinds of stuff, you know. So, on a basic operational level, it is important to have a sense of an external physical world. You also, thanks to this assumption, have a dependable world with which to relate to, both practically and conceptually. The world is stable. So when I say that, naive realism is an assumption, what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying that the world is like a soup and that you can just make up, you know, your own world like you were in a Sims game or like you were just painting on a canvas from scratch. Obviously, the world has structure. You know, if you walk down your street, that you know what will be at the end of that street, roughly. You know, it won't be the same as you probably imagine it, but it'll be similar enough. There's a continuity about it. You know, if you go to the center of your city, it's going to be roughly the same as it was before, right? It's not going to turn into some crazy world. So that's why we assume naive realism to be true, because the world has this continuity to it. And also that is a useful thing because it basically helps you operate very easily as a human being. Imagine your world changed every time you woke up. Like literally the room around you was different. Your house was different. Your partner was different. And I don't just mean a little bit different. I mean like radically different, like different shapes, different colors, different sizes, different time, different gravity. You know, imagine the whole thing was just completely different. You would go insane because you wouldn't have no predictability. You would have no idea how to live your life. So that's part of the intelligence behind it. And it's part of the reason we assume naive realism. But so I've given sort of a bit of credit to naive realism, and I've sort of explained why it's a useful model. However, listen to this. There's a big difference that you need to understand. There is the idea, you know, there's the concept on one hand of an external world exists just as I conceptualize it to exist, which is basically the default existential assumption. you believe that your model of the world, you know, how you imagine it to be, the people around you, how, the places around you, the events that are happening, you imagine them to be just as you think that they are, right? That's one thing. Versus, I have a sense of an external world. You see the difference? And furthermore, I am sensing it as I believe it to be, right? You see the difference there. One is saying the world exists beyond me as I know it. And the other one is saying I sense it to exist as I know it. Those are two radically different things. The first one is like a metaphysical assumption or abstraction based on the second one. What you're doing with the first one is you're taking your sense of the external world and you're generalizing it and you're trying to crystallize it. And that is what default human experience is about. You know, that's how most people operate. They don't realize that they have a sense of the external world. They don't have the external world itself. Let me go a bit more deeply into this phrase and pull it apart, because it actually contains a couple of nuggets that will help you understand what on earth I'm talking about. So the phrase, you have a sense of an external world, that is my claim. I'm not asking you to believe me, I'm just asking you to kind of explore it with me. Notice I'm saying you have a sense of. So what is this sense of? What I'm deliberately saying is that you do not have the external world. You cannot perceive the world that's beyond your current perception. You have a sense of it, and the sense of it comes in the form of thoughts, memories, concepts, your mental map. You know, what I mean by your mental map is the places and people around you and in your life, how they all relate to one another and how you think they're all sort of located in relation to one another. And this sense isn't just a mental thing, it's actually a physiological thing. It's literally sort of, I don't want to use like sort of too dramatic language here, but your muscular system and your nervous system is wired with this sense of an external world. And if you have never seen this before, it's hard to understand why, but it is, like it just is. Notice as well, I'm saying an external world, okay? Why am I saying an? Because I didn't say the external world, I said an external world. What I mean by an is that it is simply an external world as you perceive it to be, right? Your sense of your external world is entirely your own. And so to say it's the external world, you know, it's the world that exists beyond my senses, is to fall into naive realism, because you're saying, my sense of the world is as the world is, okay? And what I'm saying is, no, you have a sense of it, and it is yours, and it is a construction, right? So it's, you have a sense of an external world. I'm not saying the external world, because you cannot know what the external world is beyond your perception. You cannot know it. So when you have a sense of it, it is just an external world, because if you say the, you're defining what it is, you see. So you have a sense of the, or you could say this external world, you have a sense of this external world that exists beyond your senses, but it is a sense of a world. It's not an accurate map of a real physical permanent world that exists beyond your perception. And just to make this very clear, so you've got, on one hand, you've got this statement, you have a sense that an external world exists. This is something you can verify. I'm not just asking you to believe me. You can verify that you have a sense of the external world. You know, in all the thoughts you have, and the places you've been, the people you know, the places you go on a regular basis, these are all part of your sense of the external world, right? Now, that is one thing. Another thing is saying the external world exists, because you cannot prove that. You cannot verify that. You cannot verify anything beyond your current experience, you see. You cannot verify that the center of your city exists right now. There's literally no way for you to do that without assuming that naive realism is true. So that is the difference between saying you have a sense of an external world and the external world exists. One is a fact of being human, that we have a sense of an external world. The second is an assumption that may or may not be useful and is mostly overlooked by people as being just true by default. So I want to make this very concrete for you, because this is not just some abstract philosophy. In fact, I'm sort of doing the opposite of being abstract. I'm trying to make this very experiential. So let me go even further. Let me ask you something. When you're WhatsApping a friend, where are they? And what if you ask where they are and they say they are at home? Now, what naive realism says is that the friend is literally somewhere beyond your experience, in some house somewhere, out there in the physical world. Now, what I would suggest is that the phone, your friend, and the info that they provide are all within your present experience. And they are just as they are. And saying that your friend is where they sit, you know, saying that the place your friend is and all the rest of it is really exists is an assumption that you're making. You don't know. Like, if they tell you where they are, how do you know? That all you have is the message. All you have is your phone. In your direct experience, there is no friend and there is no place where the friend is. It's just as it is. All you have is your direct experience of your friend. And listen to this. Even if they say, well, I'm at the beach right now, and you start imagining them at the beach, those images that you have are just yours. They're just part of your direct experience. You cannot perceive that beach where they are, and you cannot perceive your friend. So to say that the friend definitely exists beyond my experience and they're definitely at the beach and that beach definitely exists beyond my experience, that is an assumption. You see the difference. You can say without a doubt, I have my phone, I have a message from my friend. I'm even being careful not to say my friend, because your friend doesn't really exist. All that you have is the phone and the message. And you have your sense of the external world that they belong to. You see? So the actual the reality is your phone and your sense of the external world that exists beyond you and where your friend and where they currently are. You see? And then the naive realism part is, okay, that means that there is there's a permanent physical world where my friend and that place is. Another example. You research a holiday on the other side of the world. Does that place exist? As you're researching it, does that place exist? All right. So then you go there, you go to that place. You've planned the holiday, you take a flight and you go there. So another question, did that place exist before? Did it exist when you were booking it now that you are there? And furthermore, does the place that you traveled from, I'm assuming your home, does that still exist once you arrive to your destination? Now, what naive realism says is that both places exist permanently all the time. You know, the holiday destination exists before you book the holiday, and your home exists when you're on holiday. The two exist, and you can go between them because they both exist permanently in the physical world. Now, what I'm saying is that the reality is that all that you have is your computer screen all you have of your that place, that holiday destination, is the images on your computer screen. There's nothing behind the images. The images just are as they are, right? Does it exist as a physical permanent place? You can't say. You don't know. That's an assumption. That's just an assumption. Does your home still exist once you're on holiday? That's an assumption. Does it matter? Well, you're going to go home, aren't you? Does it matter if you know whether it exists or not? You assume that it exists, but does it matter if it does or not? As long as you go home and it's there, you're fine, right? And most of the time, that's what happens, unless some disaster happens. So, you see what the difference there. The reality is that all you have is your current experience. And I mean that, like, as I really just want you to understand how life actually is structured from my point of view, right? All you have is your current experience. That's all you can ever have. And anything else is an assumption. You have a sense of the external world as it exists independently of you. Fine, I'm saying that is a useful sense, but it's not the external world. It is not proof of an external world. And naive realism is an assumption. It is not something you can actually prove to yourself ever, no matter what you do. You might say, well, I looked at pictures of the holiday destination. Right, you looked at pictures. So, that doesn't mean the place exists beyond your current perception. The pictures are within your current perception. Your sense of the place existing independently of you is also part of your current perception. Right? And then assuming that that means that it's really there in the way naive realism says, that is an assumption that you're making. Okay, let's change gear now. What I want to talk about now is what I'll call the enactment principle. I don't think anyone has called anything the enactment principle. Or I might be wrong about that. And this isn't a truly original idea. I mean, I've not like stolen it from anyone, but I've heard about this before, right? So I'm not plucking this from thin air, but it's also not truly original. This fills the gap between naive realism and, you know, this paradigm that I'm proposing, that only what is in your direct experience is true. So what I'm saying is, you know, the holiday destination, for example, you might agree with me and say, well, Ross, okay, fine, all my ideas about this holiday destination are simply ideas and nothing else. There is no, I cannot perceive the destination right now. And so whether it exists or not is actually kind of irrelevant, right? You might understand that. You might agree with me. I'm not saying you need to agree with me either, but, you know, if you do. But then you might ask, well, but I know if I take a plane for 6 hours or whatever, I'll get to that place. Right. So enactment fills the gap there. What enactment says is that the friend, for example, and the holiday destination, for example, do not exist as physical permanent things, but they exist in potential. You cannot perceive them directly, but you can enact them. And that is all you need to understand reality. You don't need to say that they are physical permanent objects existing independently of you. All you have to say is they exist in potential, and it's as good as them being physical and permanent, right? Let me talk about the exact enactment principle a bit more. The enactment principle is an empirical fact because, listen, imagine your fridge right now, you know, the shape of it, where it's located, the size of it, what it looks like inside, roughly. Now, get up from where you're sitting, go and open your fridge, have a look. What's going on in there? Is it roughly the same as you imagined it to be? Has it just changed overnight? You know, has it just completely changed form? Is it completely unrecognizable? Probably not, unless someone's come and changed your fridge and you didn't know. Right? So that is enactment. You can imagine things. You have a sense of what is beyond your current experience. You know, your fridge, you might not be looking at it right now. You have a sense of it. And then you can go and you can actually, you can see it. You can experience it as it is, right? That is enactment. And enactment, in my opinion, is basically how life actually works. Life isn't about us navigating a physical, permanent 3D external world. Life is about us enacting a world that exists in potential and it is highly predictable and highly repetitive, but it doesn't exist permanently and physically. Because again, that is just an assumption that you make, right? So basically, all the time, and I mean this like all the time, this is how you literally navigate your world and your friendships and your family and your work and the place you live and all the rest of it. You have the sense of an external world and you can enact what is inside that sense, inside your map of the world. So, you know, for example, you can enact your family. You might not be able to see your brothers and sisters or your parents right now or whoever it is, but you can enact them. Do your parents exist? Do your brother and sister exist? Well, that you cannot actually know the answer to that question. Even if you phone them, all you have is a phone call. You don't have them, right? You don't. That is, you have to assume that they exist. But you can enact them. So you can, in my case, it would be taking a plane for 3 hours to go and see my parents. And then when I am there, my parents really, really exist. Until then, it's an assumption, right? That is what enactment is. It is what is, you know, something in your, something that is part of your sense of the external world. You can enact it by choosing to kind of get close to it or interact with it or make it part of your current experience. And that is actually what we're doing all the time. So that principle of enactment, it sort of closes the gap between the empirical fact of, well, listen, Ross, maybe we don't have a we don't have the external world as it is, but we do have, you know, we have a map of it and our map is useful, right? So this is what enactment does. This is this principle. It closes the gap between those two so that you don't, there's no contradiction between you thinking that your family exists and then realize, you know, going to visit them. There's no contradiction. It's a subtle distinction, right? So you might be wondering at this point, you know, okay, Ross, you've been speaking for 40 minutes about this. What is even the point? Like, why even bother? What is the difference? You know, if you can enact the world and you've got a sense of the world that is pretty good a lot of the time, you know, what is the difference between, why not just say that the world exists physically and permanently? Because it seems like the difference between that being true and enactment being true is minimal. Right, so this is where shit gets real. And this is when we really understand why on earth I'm even talking about this and why it's not just some abstract philosophical BS, because that is not my game, folks. Like, if you've been following me enough for long enough, this podcast, my website, my newsletter, you'll realize I'm not just some conceptual academic, right? I'm actually a spiritual practitioner, whatever on earth that means. I'm not interested in dry philosophy. Like, I really am not. I do not sit and read dry philosophical books either. And it makes a big difference. It makes an enormous difference. And if, to be honest, if you're asking why it's important in a kind of dismissive way, it's because you're not understanding what your experience of life actually is, right? So let me explain. For one thing, enactment justifies your map of the world, right? So listen, what I said was something, when you have an element of your sense of the external world, you can choose to enact it, right? So you're imagining a place you want to go. That place, does it exist? Who knows? But you can enact it, you can go there, right? Most of the time it'll work perfectly fine. That'll work. That's why enactment is true. Okay? But what I'm also saying is, for you to enact something, it needs to be part of your imagination. It needs to be part of your map of the world. And because the external world only exists in potential, what you're doing when you're enacting is you're enacting the world that you believe to exist. You're not enacting the external world as it is for everyone. You're basically enacting your own external world. No one experiences the world as you do, ever. No one wakes up in the same house as you, walks down the same street as you in the same way, at the same pace. No one goes to the same places as you do. Otherwise, you'd see them all the time, and they'd be sitting next to you all the time. You see? So we all have a unique experience of the world. Now, what enactment does is we select an element from our internal map of the world. We take action to experience that or to make that happen, and then it seems to be part of our world. So what I'm saying is, because the external world exists in potential, your map, your sense of it, is what defines it. There is no world. The world is you. You are, I'm not going to say you're making up the world, and I'm going to talk about this later. I am not saying that you're making up the world and you're imagining the world. That is too far. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you basically, the things you do and the people you see and the places you go and the things that you get up to, they depend on your map of the world. They absolutely depend on your map of the world. We don't want to take this too far and say that you're controlling the world like a puppet. No. What I'm saying is that the general, you know, let's say I decide to go to the center of my city, right? And then something terrible happens. And then I get some huge, you know, something, you know, it hurts me and I feel terrible about it for a few days later. What I'm saying is that you enacted that because you had to have the idea of going to your city and experiencing that. I'm not saying you created the event. I'm not going that far. I'm saying that your city had to exist in your internal map. You had to take steps to go there and then you had to experience it. It has its own workings. You're not just controlling it like a master. The city has a life beyond yours, right? But, or it maybe doesn't have a life beyond yours. It works according to its own mechanisms, right? But you enacted it, you see? If you'd never gone to your city, then you would never have experienced that thing and it would never have affected you and you would never even have thought about it. So that is, enactment basically justifies and it depends on your map of the world. And more precisely, enactment is how you make desire reality. And you're doing this all day long. You're not just doing it once. You're not just doing it with your goals and your dreams, man. You're doing this all the time. I am enacting this podcast right now. I don't need to be sitting here. I mean, I'm sitting here because I want to do it. But I am enacting it. It's me. It's my responsibility. I enacted it. This podcast doesn't exist without me. You see? And whenever you have a desire to do something, you enact that desire. And so the world and your life is just a reflection of your desires. And again, I'm not saying you control everything. What I'm saying is that the general flow of things and the general sort of patterns in your life, they come about because of enactment. They don't become about because of random chance. They don't come about either because you're dreaming them into existence or anything like that. They come about because you enact them. Now, just if that doesn't seem profound, just let it sit and just like ponder it in the background. And I hope you will realize that it's a very profound thing. Why even bother? Another reason is that because nothing is outside your direct perception, which occurs now. Nothing is outside of now and whatever you're experiencing right now. Everything else is just an assumption. you have a sense of what might be happening beyond what is happening right now in another place, in another time, what your friends are doing, what your family are doing, what's happening, you know, 100 miles away, whatever. That is an these are just assumptions. You don't know. You have no idea. All you can know truly is what is happening right now in your senses. And then, well, senses makes it sound very kind of like sight, sound, touch. Just your entire experience right now, your entire experience of being human right now, including your sense of being a person, your body, your mind, your inner experience, all of it, everything is all that there is. And everything else is an assumption. And what naive realism does is it says, no, that is not an assumption, and you can know. And what I'm saying is, you cannot know for sure. You can enact the world, but you cannot know the world for sure. Right? And those are two very, very profoundly different sort of perspectives on what life is. And yes, I am literally saying that whatever you're perceiving right now for you is all that there is, and there's nothing else. There is literally nothing else. Furthermore, enactment is very powerful because it's a habit that we use to reinforce our sense of who we are and the sense of the world around us. And actually, it becomes such a habit that we stop choosing what we enact and we simply enact for better and for worse. You know, imagine, act, experience is such, that's basically the three steps of enactment, is imagine, act, experience, enact. You know, it's such a powerful mechanism that we don't realize that that's what we're doing. And because we don't realize it, we start running loops and we start enacting the same things over and over again. It's sort of like putting the same film over and over again. You can see this in your own life. You can see this in other people's lives. If you've ever had an addiction, or if you know someone that has an addiction, it almost has this quality of like, they're just watching the same film or movie, if you're in the US, the same film over and over again. They don't have to. They could stop watching the film, but that's what they're doing all the time. They're just watching the film, and they're addicted to this substance, right? And they're stuck in that loop. But we're all stuck in loops because we're stuck in enactment loops. We enact the same situations over and over again. You know, we choose to go to the same places over and over again. There's many places we could go. We don't have to go where we always go, but we go there because it reinforces our sense of who we are and our sense of what the world is. And it feeds into the naive realism paradigm, you see. So that is why enactment, and that's why naive realism, they sort of go undetected, because once something becomes a habit, it really seems that that's how life is and that's how the world is, and there's no other way because you cannot see beyond it, right? So you have a lot of choice in what you enact, and most of the time you're probably not enacting with any real power, you see. Another further point is that the world only exists to the extent that you enact it. Or to say that shortly, no enactment means no experience. So listen, for example, right? Imagine the favorite place you go to. Or imagine somewhere you go to on a regular basis. That place only exists to the extent that you enact it, right? If you don't enact it, its existence is an assumption for you. You cannot prove, like if you stop going to your office of work, for example, you can't prove that that exists. It's an assumption. It's an assumption based on naive realism, right? The world only exists to the extent that you enact it. In other words, if you don't enact something, it won't be real. It is not real. It's not, its existence is an assumption, right? For example, Donald Trump only exists because you enact him. If you stopped listening to the news about Donald Trump and you stopped looking at Twitter and Facebook or Instagram or whatever, social media, Donald Trump would not exist for you. He only exists to the extent that you experience him. And in fact, the way you experience him is the only way you know him. You only know him as an image on a screen, unless you've met him in person. You only know Donald Trump as an image on a screen and moving images and sounds, right? That is all you have. And if you stop doing that, you will no longer know him. He will literally stop existing, right? You can enact him again, yes, unless he dies. You can enact him, but he doesn't exist in the way that naive realism would say. So what I'm saying is that your life is like you. Here's a good way of thinking about enactment and why it's so important is that your whole life is basically you playing films. You know, you watch one film and then that finishes and then you put another DVD in and, well, God, this is really old fashioned, but I just have that image in my mind. You choose another one on Netflix. Let me go for that one. You scroll down Netflix and you choose another film. And you watch that for a while. Then you scroll down again and you choose another one. You watch that for a while. That is what your life is. You enact your entire life. It's not just life. It's not just how things are. You enact it, right? And this is true of the most mundane moments in your life. I'm not talking about waving a magic wand. I'm talking just about the basic fact of experience and how it works. You make decisions based on your sense of the world and your sense of who you are, and you essentially collapse what the external world, which only exists in potential, you make it real by choosing to enact it and choosing to experience it. And again, I'm not saying that you dream up the world, or or you're imagining things, or you're controlling everything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you are choosing to experience certain things over and over again, right? And those experiences bring with them other experiences and so on. Why bother? Because you get your life back. Because your life is just like you watching films over and over again. Obviously, it's like a five-dimensional film. It's not just on a screen. You can, first of all, redefine your sense of the external world. You know, you can sort of redefine your film library. That's your sense of the external world. You can regain the process, control of the process of what you're choosing, you know, of what film you're choosing, of what experiences you're choosing, rather than just watching the same films over and over again, which is what most of us do most of the time. You can actually make it a conscious thing. You can actually realize that you have a whole variety of choices you could make. You're not just limited to going to the same place, the same people at the same time over and over again. That is like watching Groundhog Day over and over again. You can make a conscious choice about these things because, as I said, most people's enactment is a result of habit and unconsciousness, not conscious choice. Look at how people live and look at how you live. And if you're very honest about it, you'll realize that you're enacting unconsciously 95% of the time. What could you be doing with all that time? You know, how could you be enacting things consciously, I ask you? And finally, because the world is not as you think it is, because the external world is just a set of ideas that you have. Again, it's not just ideas, it's actually wired into your nervous system, but let's just keep at the level of ideas. The external world is an idea. It's your idea and it's based on your own filters. So as soon as you say to yourself, this place is like that, or those people are like this, or this other person's like that, those are just your ideas. And they come from your own biases and your own experiences and so on. You do not know the external world because there is no external world. You have a sense of an external world, but that's all you have. And what if your ideas about the world were all just fantasies at the end of the day? Wouldn't that be radical to realise that? That they are just fantasies and they're all just they're all your own projections. So let me leave you with a few warnings here. Because it's very easy to misinterpret what I'm saying here. First of all, this is not manifestation talk, right? This is much more sober than that. So I'm not literally saying that in everything you do and in every choice you make, you're enacting the world. I mean, I'm saying that, but not in the way that you might think. I'm not saying that you can just like magically think things into existence. I'm not just saying, oh, well, if I imagine that a big orange monster lives at the end of my street, that if I go to the end of the street, that will be there. No, that would be magical thinking. That is called magical thinking. It is not the same. What I'm saying is that when it comes to the mundane facts of the external world, you have a good mental model for that, but you're still enacting. They don't really exist, right? And I'm not just saying that you can add elements to your sense of the world and then those will be, you will be able to actually experience them. That's not what I'm saying. That is magical thinking and that's where children get stuck. Well, they get stuck there for a while and then they realize that it doesn't really work like that. I'm also not saying, and I've said this before, but I really just don't want people to misunderstand and misquote me or whatever. I'm not saying that you control other people, and I'm not saying that they reflect you in some like pseudo-psychological way. Enacting the world is not the same as controlling the world. Like, so for example, if you get a train to the middle of your city, you're not making the city be that way. The city is as it is, right? It works according to its own mechanisms. What I am saying is that for you to experience a city, it had to exist as an idea and you had to enact that idea, right? I'm not saying you have a perfect idea of it. I'm saying that the notion of going there had to exist and then you had to enact the city by going there. If you hadn't gone there, the city is essentially non-existent for you. So you might now be wondering, well, Ross, this all sounds very nice and I can maybe see the power of it. How do I actually understand this properly? Because listening to me talking about it and giving you my conclusions is not the same as really understanding what I'm talking about and understanding it so deeply that it changes how you live your life. What I would recommend is meditation. So much meditation that it becomes not just like a separate activity in your day, but it basically becomes your day. Your day becomes meditation. And when you do that, when that happens, and it takes a good few years for this to happen, these insights start to become quite obvious. You start to realize that your sense of the world is just your sense of the world. Nothing more, nothing less. It's useful, but it's not the world. It's just not. And you'll also come to realize that nothing exists outside your direct experience. Nothing exists outside it. And any sense that it does is just part of your current experience. You cannot know anything outside your current experience. You simply cannot. And that is not like some metaphysical conclusion. That is just the nature of experience. You cannot know anything outside it. Anything you know is already inside it, right? So meditation, friends. If you want to get started with meditation, I've got a free course. You don't even have to sign up. It's literally just on my website. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to play a game here. Go to the articles and courses section on my website in the menu and you'll find meditation course there. And there's an intermediate one as well that starts leading you towards these kinds of insights. And yes, I'm going to do a plug for an actual paid product right now. in about 10 months' time, I think, my first book, my first published book with a proper publisher, is being released, and it's called The Boundless Body. And it's not just about this stuff, but this stuff is really important and it plays a central role. So keep your eyes peeled, keep your ears peeled if you're listening, because I'll be talking about The Boundless Body more as the months go on. And you might like to pre-order it when pre-orders begin in sort of May time, I think it is. So, does an external world exist? If you say yes, you're assuming things. All you can know is your current experience. You have a sense of the external world, that is undoubtedly true, but, and it's a useful, very useful thing to have, as we've spoken about, but does an external world exist? You cannot prove it. It's an unprovable proposition. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. And I will be back next Wednesday with a very similar episode, very sort of philosophical, but ultimately I want to bring this down and make it very experiential for you. So if you liked this episode, please subscribe, and I'll be back next week. Take care. See you very soon.